Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast of resales and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and oh my goodness, do I have an exciting episode for you guys. I got to sit down with Lauren Mack, who is an interior designer by trade. She is on HGTV on many different types of episodes and shows on HGTV. She is a thrifter. She is a DIYer. She loves upcycling, and I am so incredibly humbled she wanted to be on Thrifters Villa. You guys are going to love this episode. She goes into home goods style, how she fits thrifting into her work and into her everyday life. We talk about reselling. We talk about finding different types of clothes to create the wardrobe that you want. And she just gives some really great tips along the way. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Let's just get into it. We will see you at the table. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Thrifters Villa. I am so excited to be sitting down with Lauren Mack here. I have been following Lauren for, 3 years, maybe? Like stalking your Instagram, really.
I am so honored. Thank you.
Because her content is so unique. And when I started following you, I was in the process of buying this house that we're in now. And I was like, all right, I got to like start following people that do home decor and that kind of thing. And your page came across to me and I was like, oh, she goes and thrifts things too, just like me. So Laura and I have been back and forth, you know, for a little bit, and we finally got this on the books, and it's like meeting a celebrity to me. Like, because Lauren's background's very, very unique, and I will give her the floor so she can introduce herself to everyone and you guys will fall in love with her just like I did. So Lauren, take it away. Let everyone know who you are and how you got to be where you are today.
Yes. Well, hi, everybody. My name's Lauren Mack. I am an interior designer by trade and a TV host by profession. I work for HGTV, and I do all of their giveaway homes. So you might have seen me on your local channels. I've been on Trading Spaces for TLC. That was my first show. I did Drill Team for A&E, Fab Life, Homemade. Fab Life was the talk show on ABC, Homemade Simple for the Oprah Winfrey Network. And now I have found my home at HGTV. So definitely been around a long time. But thrifting is my true passion, and secondhand pre-loved items are I just love it. I grew up in a historical home, so I just feel like, you know, old things and I resonate. And I just love the idea of something that's been pre-loved and that's been, you know, that's withstood the test of time. So that's my passion and that's my history. And now I really consider myself a DIY expert. I love upcycling. I love refurbishing. I love refinishing. I love bringing something back to life and giving something a second lease on life. So I call it reloved stuff.
So now in your HGTV journeys and the shows that you are on, are you doing the DIY stuff within the shows, or are you doing mostly new?
Well, HGTV is mostly new stuff. I'll be very honest with you. It's new construction, and my shows particularly are giveaway shows. So they're all brand new construction and generally brand new interiors. I personally always have an angle that's a pre-loved angle, whether it's going to a vintage shop or an antique store and adding those touches into the home, or even a DIY project. But typically it's all new construction. Now my home is a different story though.
Yeah. So let's talk about your home, because you've shared your journey of you kind of redesigning your home.
I am. I'm still in the process. There's always something happening around here. I am an old soul girl. I told you, I grew up in this old historical home in Oklahoma. That's where I'm from. So I'm a good old country girl. I now live in Nashville. And we have a builder basic home, as a lot of people probably do. And that doesn't resonate with me. I like it old. I like it creaky. You know, I like it solid. Built from steel, you know? And so I'm trying to give some new flavor to this, or some old flavor to this newer home, which has kind of been a challenge for me, especially growing up or living in this town where it's a lot of, shiplap and a lot of farmhouse, which is great. That's just not my particular style. And so I'm trying to add some vintage flavor to my home.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I feel like the aesthetics of homes is changing too. We have been in this phase of farmhouse, right? Like this very neutral gray based farmhouse. And coming into 2024, I feel like maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's a little bit of a switch of adding more color, kind of going more into the, like that grandpa kind of realm of design.
And listen, I don't at all knock farmhouse, honey. Everybody loves it. It is a vibe. If you can do it, you can do it well. It's all for you. Like, I am here for any style that you just feel good. Because I feel like your home really should just make you feel good. It's the one place, I always say this, it's the one place, whether you've been on vacation or in jail for longer than 2 weeks, you're like, I want to go home. You know, it's just the place where everybody wants to go. And certainly after the last few years we've had, home has meant more to, I think, a lot of us than anything else before. And so I just love that my home feels like me. You know, it's like my style.
Right.
You know, my clothes need to feel like me, my home needs to feel like me. So I like it dark and moody. I like a vintage flair. And so when we bought this house, it was very gray and very farmhousey, which is perfect, but it just didn't fit me. So getting rid of some of the, you know, just, I guess, vanilla vibes, I guess you call it, and making it a little more personal to me has been a challenge. Also, just convincing my husband to allow me to do that has also been a challenge. So if you can see, I don't, those of you who are listening probably can't see, but like she can see, my background is black. I have a vintage painting that I found at a thrift store. My living room is brown, chocolate brown. You can follow along on social media and find out about that. And I scoured the world for this dynasty light. I call it my dynasty light because not only do I like it old, I like it gaudy.
I was gonna say, I get some goth vibes from your home.
I'm here for like old money style, right? Like I want my house to look part mob wife, part oil money, oil heiress tycoon. Okay. That's my vibe. So it's, and I love color and I love bold, you know, prints and all kind of things. I really call it the customized home. I just like to customize my home and make it look, you know, different.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of you. I don't like dark and moody for my own personal home. I think when I see people that do it, I love it. I love walking into a house that's so different. It's got this like, I don't, to me, it's almost like a romantic vibe, like a dark romantic vibe to it, right? You can light some candles and it's just, it gives such a nice feeling. But for my own home, I like bright and airy. I like the neutral tones, but I'm not necessarily the, everything has to be gray. Everything has to, you know, have the traditional, I guess, farmhouse brown and white. Like I'm okay with having different tones and mixing up and putting some color in things. But it's taken me a while to real like to really figure out what my style is because, and I'm sure you can attest to this, we all watch these different TV shows, we all go on Pinterest, we all see what's out there, and it's like you get so heavily influenced to go a certain path in home design because it's all that you see.
Exactly. And that's why I love customizing my things. Like, I will go to the thrift store, find a dope vase, and paint it whatever color I need it to be for my house. You know, that's one of the things that I love the most, I think, about thrifting is I feel like I can be a little bit more risky because I'm not spending a lot of my money. And what I hate to do is waste money. I just hate it. So if I can find something that's pre-loved or even something that I've already got around here and just tailor it or customize it to my style or to whatever hairs up my butt that week, this may change. I may not like dark and moody in another couple of years, you know? It's just paint, though. I just change the walls and change my decor out with a light coating of spray paint. I got a whole nother thing going. So that's my vibe.
Yeah, your husband must hate it. My husband would absolutely hate.
Oh
He's
my
like, can
God.
you stop changing things, please? Can we just leave things as they are?
Girl, and my kids too. When I painted the house, we had this green, it was gray walls, as I said. When we painted the house dark, my kids were like, I'm scared to go to the bathroom. I'm like, what?
Oh.
Now I have to accompany them to the bathroom every time. It's dark in here. I'm like, yeah, I know. They're scared of the dark. So I didn't
Yeah.
realize that that was going to be a byproduct of the design.
So we'll talk about the home stuff first since we're on that topic. If so that I know that there are people listening who sell home goods, and then I know there are people listening that aspire to build the home, the interior of their home that they really want. What advice would you give to those who are selling home goods, who are kind of going in with this open mind of what are the buyers looking for? What are things that you're seeing today that buyers are looking for that we as thrifters could pick up and then sell online?
Oh man. Well, personally, I love anything marble. marble pieces are just huge. I mean, if you go into any, you know, big box retailer, whether it be CB2 or Restoration or any of those other Restoration Hardware, any of those other big box stores, you'll see a lot of these really rich textures coming into play. It's the same things I'm seeing all over the thrift stores, you know, like beautiful marble bowls, alabaster, any of those natural stones that you see out there, travertines. I bought a really cute travertine soap dish the other day from the thrift for like 99 cents. And I was like, this thing would have been $400 at CB2. Yeah. So any of those kinds of pieces are always bookends. Lots of like busts are in these days too. Like, you know, these sort of older Victorian vintagey looking busts are always something that I always pick up at the thrift. Mixed metal pieces, brasses, all of the things that have a little bit of a patina or tarnish. I mean, as you guys know, we can just clean it up with a little ketchup, with a little bit of this, that, or the third thing, and shine it back up. Lots of swans, loving a swan moment. I don't know if you guys are into it, but I always pick up the swans, honey, whether it be a vase or a soap dish or any of those kinds of things, little trinkets. I mean, and you know, there's a lot of 70s vibes out there too. So there's always the heavy hitters from the glass. What are those vases? The swing vases. Those are always a hit. You know, Pyrex is always a big deal. I don't get the Pyrex, by the way. I just don't understand.
Me neither. But there's a collection, like a big collector's community with it.
That is, I know it, and not for y'all listening, put me up on game, follow me on social media. I don't get it. I'm not buying it. Half the time it's too expensive, and when I do see it at a decent price, I'm like, what am I gonna do with this? It's gonna sit in my garage and I'm gonna be mad at myself. I'm like, this is worth some money. Mid-century modern pieces, as you guys always know, are a big deal. Like clocks are coming back. I've seen a lot of clocks lately, which I think is kind of unique, because who puts a clock up anymore? Have an iWatch, whatever, they're in. So lots of that, bowls, vases, you know, servingware, all those things. I just think that like anytime you find something that has a unique and cool texture tone, I think it's just time to snatch it up and sell it. And you'll find out from your own audience what their people are buying and what they're not buying. But of course, when I have something really great, I always go to my favorite place, like Cherish, will always help me get rid of things if I know it's expensive and valuable, but my audience isn't resonating with it. Like on any of my, you know, top reseller websites, I'll go straight to Cherish or First Dibs and get rid of it quick, because there's some great stuff out there. And I think that the home good, the reselling and home goods is kind of like, in my opinion, I don't think a lot of people are tapping into it as much as they could be.
I tried to tap into the home goods market last year. I was like, I'm going to attempt to do this. And I picked things that I would pick up from my own home, basically, is how I started doing it. And I did find some success in it, but it's a very different audience. It's a very different market. And when you're used to selling clothes and shoes and handbags and all that, it is a total shift in mindset on how to advertise it to the buyers, how to intrigue them with your photos, because home goods are, it's different when you're selling a piece of ceramic something, right? Versus selling a designer pair of heels that people know and love and search for. So it requires you to get a little more creative with the way that you're doing your photos and the way you're describing the items, and having to understand a little bit more about the history behind it. So I enjoyed it for fun, for that little bit that I did it, but I personally couldn't do it long-term. Like, if I find something, okay, maybe. But more than likely, if it's really cool, I'm keeping it in my house.
I know. See, that's my problem. I buy it and I'm like, I'm going to sell it. And then I can't because I like it too much. Travesty.
That is what you were describing, is what most resellers go through every time that they're in the thrift store.
I know. But I'm a collector, you see. Gotta have my collection, even if it's underneath a bed somewhere, because I'm not getting rid of it.
I know.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to home goods, and I'm sure you will agree with this, is it's really dependent on your personal style. There are so many, like, there's no right or wrong in home goods. Not that there's a right and wrong in clothing either, but like, there are traditional trending things when it comes to clothing, to fashion, to shoes, to all that stuff. With home goods, it's such a personal thing. And I hear this from reseller friends who are in the vintage home goods market, and it's like, Okay, I know that the chances of me finding a buyer for this is maybe one in a thousand, but that person's gonna find this piece and they're gonna fall in love with it and they're gonna wanna pay the $200 for it that I have it listed for on Etsy. And I just think it's just a different, home goods is just so personalized. And I think it's a beautiful thing to realize that we don't have to buy it new, whether it's a couch, whether it's a table, I don't care what it is. And you can, I mean, there's Instagram accounts that I follow where they take these beat up wooden pieces and then they remove all the stain. And now they're like creating these new pieces that look like they're straight out of Restoration Hardware.
Yes, exactly. And now that is, God bless the people that do that, because that's a hustle. But that takes a lot of work. And it's messy work too, sanding stuff and painting things. But I see them flip those furniture flippers. God bless you guys. Like, that is an incredible art. But I love the most part I love about that is the sustainability aspect and how it really impacts the globe. I think that for me is amazing. But in terms of the home good market, I agree with you. And what I have found though that a lot of successful resellers are doing, whether it be, do you follow Lone Fox on any of your social
Yes, of
media?
course.
Of course. Okay, he's amazing. Drew, like he really stages his products in a way that is that it that elevates it, that showcases it in an incredible way that you're like, okay, I'll spend $200 for that thing. Even if it's not really that thing, I don't know what the hell he's selling, but I'm like, oh, $500 for that? Yeah, that looks good. I'll buy it. Candlesticks or whatever, I've also heard a lot of people are having great success on Whatnot, which is a live reselling avenue or live reselling streaming channel. And what's cool about that is you can actually walk it like any live on Instagram, you can walk people through every reason why that product is so unique and so cool. And I think that helps to really like resonate with the audience as opposed to just throwing it on eBay or whatever. I just feel like those kind of places you can really talk an item up and explain why it looks so cool and what's so unique about it, show the features of it. And those kinds of opportunities really help resellers get rid of their inventory quicker.
I think it's interesting that home goods has been doing so well in live selling in comparison to clothing. And maybe it's because clothing is such a saturated thing. Like you have to either be starting your pieces really low or have something that's super unique that people are going to want to buy and stay in your clothing show. Home goods, I mean, I guess I just never imagined it taking off in the live selling space, but it really has. And I think it all stemmed from Instagram because so many of these home accounts started off as doing drops on Instagram, right? And then doing a live on Instagram, and now it's just transitioned to an actual platform where they can now build an audience and do it all there in one place and not have to worry about the financial aspect of it, right? Because on Instagram, it was very complicated for these sellers before.
Yes, absolutely. And I have still yet to host my own drop or live, which I need to do, girl. I got a garage full of junk. My husband is so sick of me this week, and he was trying to make me clean the garage. I was like, "You mean go through my things in front of you? Hell no! I refuse." And he would make me throw everything away. I'm like, "Those lampshades are really, really expensive." Yeah,
You
like
don't
no trash.
understand.
It's lampshade. Are you crazy? I'm not throwing that away. I got a lot of lost dreams out there. But it's true. It's terrible. There's half. All these DIY projects that I have aspired to do that are done, but I find these great things and I just can't get rid of them. But yes, I haven't ventured into live selling, but I want to. It's just one of those things that is on the part of my list that I haven't done. I should probably talk to a therapist about that later.
I think you definitely have the personality for it, that's for sure. And you're used to being on camera, Lauren, which I think is a big part and why a lot of sellers shy away from live selling is they're not used to being on camera and talking to no one because that's what it is. There's people there, but you're not physically seeing the people. And
It's true.
that can be intimidating to a lot.
That's very true. You're right about that. And I would just say, like, it's just like talking to a girlfriend. I'm talking to you right now. There's thousands of you listening, but I'm enjoying talking to you and for not even considering, not as worried about the thousands of people. I'm just worried about the conversation in front of me. So I guess if there's any tip for the camera presence, I would just say, just look at the here and now and just talk to one person. Imagine your one girlfriend listening to it and talk to her about why you love that thing. Because I'm not unique in the fact that I have an outgoing personality. Everyone has something fabulous about themselves that they can really play up. And I will say this, when I watch live sales, live auctions or live people doing their lives, I'm always like, wow, I didn't realize you were that funny or you had that cute little quirky thing you did. Like, and I think that's just what attracts your audience to you. Everyone's unique in that way.
Yeah, it's true. And you never know who's watching your lives either. Like Lauren could be in
True.
your life. You don't know.
I will be in your live so I can get tips and tricks on how to do one. Because I feel like the other thing is, how do I moderate that live? Like, how do I make sure I get everybody to the sales? And, it's just a lot of work that I'm not familiar with. So, of course, I don't do anything I don't feel that I'm great at, which is not a great recipe for success, is
Yeah.
it?
Well, I will say people who I have never done a live because I just don't have the capacity to do a live right now in my life. But I do know that people that do lives have usually someone who is in the background, whether it's a husband or a friend or whatever, and they're usually manning the chats or they're watching to see what people are asking for, and they're kind of keeping up with the bids that have to go up. And then you are just you're the showman, right? Like you are the one that's
Exactly. The
talking.
Vanna White.
Yes, you are the Vanna White. I think you should do one. I mean, I already told you this off. You need to do it. Put it on your list. Daniela
List
said
of
I
things to
need to
do
do a
this
live.
week. Yeah, well, my husband would be so grateful if I did that, because he'd be like, thank God I can park my car in the garage again.
I mean, and you could do it from anywhere. So you could literally set up in the garage. You don't have to worry about bringing it all into your house. Because to be honest, lives, especially when you're first starting, you don't need to have a specific setup. I mean, you could do it anywhere where these items are and then grow from there.
Girl, that sounds good, but I'm like, well, no, the lighting has to be perfect, and I have to
I
have the background.
know, I know.
This is why this is it's a analysis. Wait, a paralysis by analysis. That's my life.
I know, I know.
But you're right. I could do it if my garage is just a pit in there, and it's full of all my favorite things. That's where I
Need
go
to
to like
figure out pricing,
relive.
right? Like that's the other part of it, because live
Yes.
pricing is very different than just putting it up somewhere and selling it.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. And that's another challenge I have is like, because it is a personal collection, right? It's the thing that you love and have scoured the world for and found at this, garage sale. It's like, I can't sell that for pennies on the dollar. Do you
I
know what
know.
Google Images said that was worth?
I know.
But it's also like, do I want to park my car in the garage and have a little
Would be
vacation
nice.
money? You know what I mean? Like, do I want to do that? Because sitting inventory is not making money for me, and so I found these really incredible pillows a couple weeks ago. They're Horchow pillows at the Goodwill for $3.99. They're $500. The original price tag is still on them. What do you think they're doing? Yes, girl, I found two of them. What do you think they're doing? They're brand new, sitting in my garage now.
Put them somewhere, please.
I know it. I know it. Ah,
Start
I
with
got you.
like five pieces.
I know it. And you know what? I even have pictures of things that I photographed. And just getting rid of my things is one of my challenges. But
You
I'm sure
sound
people
like
are listening right
every
now and are
reseller
like,
that
what are you
exists.
doing? I know it. But so that's the thing I would say too, is like, when you're selling home goods, it's got to be things that you can easily ship, easily, that are lightweight, that that aren't heavy, heavy, heavy things. Like, maybe marble pieces, okay, whatever, but like not a chair, unless you're at that level. But yeah, that's been my challenge too, is finding the
Those
right stuff.
people are so interesting to me that sell the chairs, that sell the tables, because that's a whole nother world of shipping that I will never understand, of like freight
Right.
shipping.
Oh my
What? Like,
gosh.
how do you even
Oh,
do
girl,
that?
it's so expensive. I don't even know how the big box companies are getting away with it, because it's not cheap to sell send stuff.
No. Unless you could do local stuff, like you could do a local pickup, but who's willing to pay that price point
Yeah.
on a local pickup?
Exactly. And then I gotta go pick meet somebody and see
Yeah.
you in person. Oh, God,
Exactly. I
my
have to like converse with strangers, and I don't know about that.
Right. But also, there's consignment stores too, which I want to recommend to people who are like, who if you find something incredible out in a sale or a garage sale or whatever, there are secondhand consignment stores that you can sell to, which I just want to throw that out there. So I don't want you to shy away from buying something that's beautiful and we love, because there are ways to getting around getting rid of it. And like you said, Facebook Marketplace is always a go-to spot. Like, I see people doing incredible on Facebook Marketplace.
There's we have a couple places here in Rhode Island that are like antique malls, but they're all consignment based. So you either bring it to them or they come to you, one or the other, and then it's all consignment. So I mean, people there, I mean, I've seen the most incredible furniture pieces in there that like you don't have the space for them, but oh my, like beautiful dining room tables that you would never find in today's world, like solid wood handmade pieces. And if you
Know it.
antique malls or antique shops that are consignment are some of the best places to go to just to get inspiration.
Oh my gosh. Girl, you have no idea. I live in an antique shop. And, you know, when I was younger, I just thought thrifting was my only thing, but there's levels to this. And these antique stores are a gold mine, I found, especially when they're trying to get rid of stuff, or you can catch them on certain weekends when everything's on a good price point. But am I giving away all the secrets?
No, you're not giving away secrets. No.
Okay. All right. You know, those are one of my favorite places to just really, like you said, get inspiration, but also, you know, pick up some good stuff.
I know. There's a lot of, I think when we think of thrifting, the only thing that really comes to everyone's brain is like, oh, you go to the thrift store. Yeah. But there are so many components to it. And there's so many like sub branches of.
Yes, it is so true. I mean, I particularly, you mentioned the bins and when I was listening to some podcast of yours, and that's my favorite place on earth. I think I just love a good dig. I call it working out. So my husband says,
it is a workout, Lauren.
It is, girl. I'm sweating to the oldies in there. I'm like dripping in sweat and fighting people off. It's a workout. So that's what I'm doing when I'm working out.
If you wear your Apple Watch, it thinks you are working out. So
that's exactly right. And I'm stepping, I'm standing, I'm digging all the things.
It is. So let's talk about thrifting and how it came into your life. So were you always a thrifter from like day one? Did your family go thrifting? What did that look like?
Yeah, you know, so I started out as a graffiti artist. Let me just say that as a brush stroke. In high school, I was a graffiti artist. We had a bunch of kids from other countries come to our school for an international exchange program. And I resonated with those kids. They were from Belgium and Brussels and Macedonia and all of these cool places in Europe that I wanted to, you know, travel to. And they were into street art. And I loved it. And so I would ditch school with these kids and we'd go painting. You know, we'd go to find these walls and stuff and that we could paint in the back and no one would notice. And we would paint the backs of thrift stores. That started out kind of being our thing. And we would end up venturing in. And so as far as I can remember, you know, in high school, I would be ditching class and hanging out at the thrift, whether I was painting the building or I was inside shopping at it, you know, and finding cool clothes to wear that would hold all my cans of spray paint and stuff that I could get paint on. And so that's where I started. I remember just, you know, ditching class and hanging out at the thrift stores. How funny is that? And so I loved it. And I would find these really cool pieces that I just thought were unique and interesting, and design being a part of my lifestyle at that time too. I would buy fun pieces for my room or whatever. And so that's where it started. For a while, I kind of got out of that area. I moved to LA, and in LA, you know, it's all about how to be as, you know, as chic as possible. And
it
so
has a very distinct aesthetic, we will say.
There you go. A very distinct aesthetic. And I kind of got out of it. And thanks to social media, I started following more thrifters again and remembered my love for thrifting. And so it's just gone full force lately. It's now become an obsession, if you will. Like, I have to go thrifting every day. It's the one thing. And about 3 years ago, I became sober. I quit drinking. And thrifting was kind of the place that I could go, as opposed to the bar where I was like doing something. I kind of feel like it was still kind of doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. Instead of happy hour, I was lying about going thrifting. But it's just, I found such a community there. You know, I know all the folks at the thrift stores. I know the shoppers at the thrift stores and like, or at the bins. And, you know, now it's just kind of my like little community of folks. I go in to check on folks, make sure everybody's good. And it's just been a passion. It's just a passion. And, you know, also too, I found such a connection there, you know, whether I find really cool things to talk about on social media that have this incredible historical significance. A couple of weeks ago, I bought a book that went for Martin Luther King in it. It was a book about Martin Luther King. I thought, oh, this is cool. I'll buy it for my son so he can kind of learn some history. And when I opened it up, inside was the funeral booklet for Coretta Scott King.
Wow.
Like from her actual funeral. Think about that. Like how many people in the world have that, you know? Right. And I just found that to be so incredible that I have this like Coretta Scott King's funeral procession book, and it's big. Oh. It's super thick. I mean, think about the people who spoke at that, the president, Barack Obama, dignitaries, other leaders, other global leaders, like, and each one of them has this really cool page inside of it that has, you know, like a poem or, you know, what they were, you know, their heartfelt condolences, all their thoughts. This is history, baby. And I have a piece of it, like just from buying a dollar book at the thrift store, like, you know, and just so So those kinds of things that I have, those memories and those moments are just so impactful to me and, you know, are really just the reason why I love thrifting so much. Yeah.
What's been the one, maybe like one piece that you found that really hooked you into it? Was there like that one situation where you were like, oh,
girl,
this is for me.
I guess, where do we begin? It all started in the third grade. No, yeah. I have so many incredible stories, whether it be the Coretta Scott King funeral procession booklet. I got this. There's this one that just nags at my heart. Okay, so last year I was doing a show. We were doing Smart Home, HETV Smart Home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I don't know if anybody has ever been to Santa Fe. It is a hidden gem for history. It is one of the most incredible. It's such a historical town. It's part of, you know, Mexico before it was Mexico, when the United States was Mexico. So it's got a lot of history from the Wild Wild West. It's got a really big art scene. So it's got a lot of art. It's a very big mid-century modern scene. So it's got a lot of historical mid-century modern furniture. It is just, it is a gem. Okay. I can't believe I'm telling y'all this, but here, y'all need to know. Y'all inside. So here's the inside scoop. Anyway, I went to a thrift store as I always do. I went to the, what is that one? Not Goodwill, but the other big one.
Value Village, Savers.
Not really about, no. Just like it's on the level of Goodwill.
Salvation Army.
I went to the Salvation Army thrift, and it was Christmas, right around Christmas time. So I'm looking at, there's a Christmas table out, a big circular table, had all the Christmas stuff on it. And I don't know what it was. Oh, I do know what it was. Somebody was looking at the Christmas table and I heard them open a box. And whatever was in that box sounded heavy and expensive. And they opened it up and closed it back up. So of course I turned around to see if they touched it. And I said, what the hell is inside that box? It was a Harry and David box with the pears all on the top. So I opened the box. It was a piece of styrofoam or foam inside. I've moved the foam out, and inside were these figurines, and they were heavy and brass, and one was like kind of a green patina and one was a copper patina. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but it was $9. It was half off that day, so it was $5 bucks. Girl, I snatched that box up and put it in my thing, whatever. It was these bronze figurines. So I snatched it for $5. I can do an investigation, right? I take it home. I separate the colors, the patina, greeny patina ones, and the more bronzy ones. I light them up. And I realize it's a chess set, a bronze brutalist chess set. Girl, I Googled it. I image searched it. It was worth $5,600 with the chess board. Oh. Honey,
did we go back to find the chessboard?
I was supposed to leave the next day at 5 a.m. Now, mind you, this is Santa Fe, New Mexico. I got an hour and a half drive back to wherever the hell else is in. I don't know the geography of Mexico, but right. I knew there, I had to drive to the airport, which is an hour out. I had a 5 a.m. flight, which meant that I was not going to be able to get there. I moved my flight. You know, I did.
I would have moved my flight.
Honey, I have to marry the pieces. Like, they cannot be separated, right? I was the first one sitting at the door at 9 a.m. In my head, I had told myself, the chess set board is here. I should also mention that not only did I find this thing, but it was the last like 15 minutes of the store opening. They were closing down. I was the last person in that evening. So I had to be the first person there that next morning because I feel like I had seen the chess board in my head. I was there at first thing in the morning. I'm waiting. I'm looking around. I'm tearing the whole store up. Couldn't find it in the same area that it was in the Christmas area. I'm looking over in the housingware. I'm looking in the art pieces. I'm looking in, you know, the sporting goods. Like, what did they miss? What did I miss it? And she made me wait. She's like, oh, the person who puts the stuff out, he's not here till like 11. So I waited till 11, girl. I'm going through everything in that store. Every picture frame, every piece of art, everything. Right? Because maybe it's in the kitchen stuff. Maybe they didn't know what it was, right?
Right, right.
11 o'clock rolls around, the guy shows up. I'm like, do you see this? I had printed out a picture. I had a picture on my phone. I had a screenshot. I couldn't show him what the website was.
Right.
Well, have you seen this thing? I'm like, of course, I made up this sob story about how my son was into chess, and he was, and how I was going
to
do
it. I need to bring this home.
And I was, right. But it wasn't for the reason. I was going to keep this in my collection. I'm not reselling it, okay? I just love it. It's beautiful. So my style. Anyway, the guy goes, oh yeah, man, I saw that. I think we put it out 2 weeks ago. Long story short, they sold the chessboard. So now I have been posting about this chessboard over and over again on my socials because in my heart, it needs to come back to me, right?
I know.
The Lord wants me to have it. I know he does. I have been putting this out there. So if anyone who is listening is in Santa Fe and has seen this chessboard, please return it to me. It's not about the money. I just need the chessboard. I want it together.
I wonder, anyway, have you looked on like eBay and stuff to see if anyone
I got all the alerts. I was going to say,
stupid question.
In my head, there is like some little grandma who found this thing and was like, oh, this will be a cute thing to put fruit on in my kitchen table. And that's where it is, just collecting dust at granny's house. It is the bane of my existence. It's the thorn in my side. But I got other stories that are really great. Like I was at a Habitat for Humanity restore and I saw in the corner, this dusty corner, was these big lucite legs, right? These big lucite pieces. I didn't know what they were, but I was like, oh, that's cool. That looks nice. Like, what is this thing? They were $10 for the set of four. I said, let me just put this in my basket. They were scratched up, but I brought them home, got some stuff. And as I was polishing them up, I'm like, let me look at these things. I Google them and search them. Girl, they are worth $12,000. They are a very, I got to figure out. I'm going to find the name of these. I can't remember now.
Here's what I love about you is that you don't even look it up when you're in the store. You're like, these are great. I'm bringing them home. And yeah, then you look it up.
I know. I got them home. I'm like, what is it? Because I was like, okay, clearly it needs a piece of glass, which they didn't have the glass, but I can buy that. You know, girl, they are amazing. I had them on my social media. I'm going to find them before this call is up. But carry on. Those are the things that I'm telling you, like, I always find something amazing, whether it even be just a pillow, even if it's not my style or my aesthetic, I just got to have it, you know, just got to have it.
You have such a love for and appreciation for arts. And I think that's what it all comes down to, is you can't help yourself.
I can't help myself. That's true. But also too, I feel like I'm a rescuer. Like I've got to rescue this from this place before somebody throws it away or throws it in the bin and doesn't realize how good it is. And it's just somebody else's thing. I will say this though, I've been on television for almost 20 years, right? And when I started posting about thrifting, I would be remiss to tell you how crazy it has gotten for me, like how just crazy my life has gotten. So I posted about this Dupioni silk green sofa that I saw at the thrift store that I didn't buy, so I didn't have a place for it. And then I went back a month later and it was still there. And I couldn't believe it because it's downfilled and it's in perfect condition and all of these things. The green sofa was a turning point, right? Mm-hmm. And I posted about it on social media and everybody, there was a big fanfare over it. So I'm walking in the mall a couple days later and this woman goes, stops me and she's like, oh my God, it's you. And I was like, oh yes, okay, I guess I'll give you my autograph. You saw me, thank you. She's like, you. And I was like, yes, it's me. She's like, your name's Lauren, right? And I'm like, yes, thank you. Have you seen the show? Of course. And she's like, you had that green couch on social media. Show. Then, girl. I was like, yeah, that's me. So my ego took a hit just because I was like, all these years on TV, and you remember the green sofa.
I mean, that's how social media is such a powerful thing, especially when you're making, like, you love making reels and stuff and posting these little short videos for people. It's on stories or whatever, and that's grabbing people's attention. So not surprised. Plus, the green couch was beautiful.
It was green. It was beautiful. Thank you very much. And I love that couch. It's funny. I was cleaning that room out this weekend and I was like, oh, the green couch. I should post about that again because it needs a new space in my house. I'm sitting in one room and it's not getting the love that it deserves. Yeah. So it's so beautiful. Though.
I will share with you one of my first bins trip when I first. Go on. So I've always sold things as a teenager. That was always a part of me. I would sell it to buy. All right. You know, we date ourselves when we say this, but early 2000s, Coach bags were a big deal with the monogram on them, and we all wanted them. So what did we do? Sell what we had so then we could go and then buy the $300-$400 Coach shoulder bag because that was the thing. So that's how I started. Was like, well, I want to buy these things. And I know that I'm not going to put this on my mom and dad to buy this for me. I'm going to buy this because they're never going to spend
on this bag. I love it.
Right?
Yes, of course.
So that's how that started. So I would Craigslist. I would do all the things. I was young. I was like 16 when I started doing this. My mom would be like, where are you going? I was like, I'm meeting up with so-and-so. I mean, like there was no stranger danger back then. It was like, I'm just going to die. It's fine.
Yeah, totally normal. Yeah. So, I met him on the internet. Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. So then it turned into, I get into college and then I start selling my books and I start selling them on eBay. And when Amazon was first a thing, you could sell them on Amazon. So that's how I started reselling. I didn't know that this was reselling. I didn't understand that was a thing, right? I just thought it was selling things to make some money to buy things that I wanted. right?
That was yes, of course, yes.
So I discover this world of thrifting and reselling. And I drag my husband. I'm like, there's this place in New Hampshire called The Bins. I don't know. Everyone keeps talking about it. Can we just do the hour and a half, 2 hour drive and just go there?
Yes.
And see what I can find. And I was extremely overwhelmed at first because I did not know what to anticipate because you don't know.
Of course not. You don't know.
It's a different world.
Hello.
So yes. I walk in and I like have to feel out the land of like, okay, so bins come out. This is what you do. Okay, got it. So I started going to bins that had already been picked over because to go to the new bins was very overwhelming to me at first. I had to like build up to that.
Yes.
So my husband's in the corner on his phone watching me and he's like, I don't know what you're doing. Have fun. Like, I'm not going to participate in this. I'm just going to stand here with your cart. Like you go.
Yeah.
So I'm digging through and I see this dress and it catches my eye and it feels so cheap. It feels like a cheap polyester, like fast fashion, like nothing crazy.
Tin.
Right. It's exactly what I thought it was at first. But then I'm looking at it. I'm like, no, this is vintage. Okay. Well, that makes sense. It's polyester because a vintage piece would be polyester. Yeah. And I pick it up and this bin has been picked over. It's probably been here since the morning. It is picked over. I pick it up and I see Christian Dior on it. And I was like, oh, this is a vintage Christian Dior. This is great. And then I see that it's a collaboration piece. People who've listened to the podcast know this story, but it's a collaboration piece from, I want to say it was the 50s or the 60s with a brand called Imagine. And they have very specific collaborations that are in museums. So now I pick this up and I'm like, well, this is worth something. Like, there's no way. And if it's fake, it's fake. Because I didn't really understand reels and fakes at that point. Like, I knew about them. Like, I was so new. So I pick it up, less than a dollar. Because it was a dollar something a pound.
Yeah,
and then
you buy it by the pound. Yes.
Right. So it was probably cents for me to get this piece. Now, I didn't know what the hell to do with it. Because I'm like, I sell this myself. I don't know anything about this. So I send it to the reel. I had someone from the Real contact me directly. And they were like, where did you get this? And I was like, I found it at the Goodwill bins. I know nothing about this piece. And they were like, okay, well, we're going to put this on the editor's page because this is a very unique piece that museums and stuff, you know, look for and that the Christian Dior company itself looks for because they're not in circulation. They're just nothing. Right?
My mouth is hanging agape for those of you listening. Mouth is agape. I hadn't heard this. So, that's crazy.
And it was like, it was such a basic polyester long sleeve dress, high neckline. It just had this little floral pattern. It was like super simple. So they were like, okay, so we have to like do some research. We don't really know where we can price this at. It does have a little bit of wear. So like, we'll get back to you on pricing. It took them like a month to price this thing because they had to call in a specialist, I guess, that it like knows this stuff, and they did research on it. Yeah, so it ends up getting priced. It got priced really, really high at first at like $3,600 for this vintage piece, right? And then eventually ended up, they were like, well, it's a little too high, we're not really getting a lot of bites on. Like, I actually had a lot of communication with them during this time.
Oh my God. I was about to say, because you know, that's one thing I can't stand about the Real Real boy.
They don't communicate. Well, this is back in 2018.
Then I'm like,
yeah, 2018. Hey! 2024 okay. Real really sucks. So let's just throw that out there.
I'm like, wait a minute. Send me my things back. Hold on a second.
Exactly. Yeah. So it ends up, when it's all said and done, selling, and I made $1,400 on it. That was my
Stop it.
Yes. That was my first big flip as a reseller, and I had like no money into it. Well, that's what really hooked me at that point because I was like, all right, what are the chances of this happening again? Slim, but that's okay. I'm into it.
Right. Because that's the thing. It's for me, it's the adrenaline rush. It's the not knowing, it's the hunt. I have to rescue whatever's in that bin or whatever's in that store. I got to find the thing that's valuable. But that's the unique part about it is there's so many things that are valuable for so many different reasons, right? Like you don't even know what makes something valuable until you do the research. So for me, that's another part of the fun of it all is the challenge of finding out what it is. Speaking of that, I found the table.
Ooh, okay.
I found the video. It's a Carl Springer Lucite leg coffee table from the 1980s. And they are very, very unique. They're not a lot of them. And they all have a very signature vibe. Carl Springer, look it up for those of you who are listening. These things are a beautiful piece of history. So $12,500 is what it's selling for on Cherish. Isn't that crazy? $12,500. And my four of them are in beautiful condition. All it took was a little bit of Lucite cleaner on it and just buff it up. Girl, they're selling, the cheapest one is $6,000 online. I got four legs for $10. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. Going back to the bins, as you were saying, I found a, at 5 o'clock, you know, the bins closed in my town at 5 o'clock. I got there about 4:30. I was like, let me just BS around. I didn't have to pick up my kids. And so I was like, let me just see what happens at 5 o'clock. Because, you know, I feel like all the good stuff goes out in the morning. I went to the bins at 30 minutes. I was digging through just to get some energy out and pulled out what felt like merino wool. So I'm pulling it out and I'm pulling it out. Turns out it's a Dior, a merino wool Dior tuxedo in this very rare color that I pulled out, and all the pieces were there. Girl, I sent it to the Real World, $5,400.
Thank God. That's crazy.
What I'm saying.
But isn't that crazy? This is like what we're talking about is what gets all of us that are into the into resale, into secondhand, into sustainability, gets so excited because it's like, this is crazy that someone would just toss this. Because at the end of the day, which we didn't touch on this, but at the end of the day, everything that's at the bins, everything that's at their store gets thrown out. Like, once it doesn't make it to that last round, it's in the landfill. That's it.
I know. Isn't that terrible? It breaks my heart. You know, and I have this thing that I'm like, oh, I should do some cool, like, upcycling clothing and sew stuff, girl. The time, all the great ideas are just never happen. But I do love rescuing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think your passion, I think the clothing and stuff is like the passion for yourself to dress yourself and to create this wardrobe for yourself. And we haven't even talked about it, but like, you do post about the clothing that you find and how you incorporate that within your everyday wear, which I think is great, because when people think of individuals on TV, you're thinking that they're buying all these new things at these boutiques or malls or whatever. And it's like, no, not everyone does that.
Never. I always buy secondhand first. I go to the thrift store every time there's a show. I have to do it. I just like it. I like the clothes better. I think they're just the vintage clothes, they wear better. They sustain better. You know, they just look better. So I used to be a fast fashion kind of girl, but now unless it's the only thing I buy fast fashion are jeans because they stretch.
Yeah, it's true.
I need a stretchy jean.
Yeah. I mean, to be transparent, because I think we need to be honest, you know, out there. While yes, I love thrifting my clothes. Yes, there are instances where I do buy retail and I do buy brand new.
Yes.
And then there are times that I go into a Target and Walmart and buy my tank tops for $3 to $5.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to spend $25 on a tank top or a t-shirt. Like, and I don't want to buy it at the thrift store because it's probably really worn. And the t-shirt, like, I don't really care as much.
That's true. Yes.
So yes, fast fashion.
Swimsuits. I buy my swimsuits firsthand too.
Yeah, well, yes. Unless it's brand new at the thrift store, which can happen. You can find new ones at the thrift store.
That's true. But I find great bras even at the bins. Like, I have a bra on right now from the bin that was brand new from Soma. So give me this bra, girl.
Right, exactly. And I think it's encouraging to see the shift of people, especially in today's world, the younger generation. They really have like attached themselves to secondhand and thrifting and buying unique vintage pieces to make a capsule wardrobe for themselves.
Yes.
Instead of just buying the new latest thing that Gucci had on their runway. Do you know, absolutely. Like when absolutely. I was growing up, that was the thing was, okay, Gucci's showing this, Dior showing this, Chanel's showing this. That's the it piece to have.
But exactly. Well, that was the LA aesthetic, and that's what I got caught up in. That's why my credit was ruined. And
I
needed a sugar daddy. I didn't have a sugar daddy, but I wish I had. Well, I was stupid enough to buy my own high-end stuff. So there's that. But I will say this too. You know, it's like any good thing. There's nothing new under the sun, right? And so these high-end brands are making things that look like vintage stuff, you know, or break it, you know, like the style now for fashion is very 70s, you know, very like crop jackets with the pockets and the things like that are oversized coats and all those things that we can find easily at the thrift. So why am I buying it firsthand? That's crazy. Same for housewares. You know, you go to any of the big box stores or any of the, you know, big name brands, and the things that they're reproducing are basically
the same thing they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing.
They're finding these styles that people want, and they're finding, I mean, they literally buy from resellers. They buy these vintage pieces from resellers to tear apart and look at the construction so then they can make it in their own brand.
Absolutely. Which is ridiculous. It's crazy.
It is, but that's what they do.
It's so crazy.
Like movie sets, for example, look for real vintage pieces and they buy it from resellers.
It's so true. But you know, too, I will say this too. Even if I find something that's vintage that doesn't fit, I always take it to my tailor and have it fit me in a much better way. That's what I'm doing after this podcast, taking all my things to the tailor because I need them for Wednesday. But I'll rather spend that money on that, on tailoring it to fit my body, than I will to buying something that, you know, is off the rack that everybody has, which goes back to that whole customizing my home. And this is the whole message I have when it comes to being a designer is like, you know, everything that you can find, everything you need and want is probably already with underneath your roof. If you want to give it a little makeover, I call it a Macover, you know, and just with a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you've got this custom thing that's tailored to your home or to your space or to you.
I want you to share with everyone what you share with me, a project that you're working on. That's going to center around DIYs and thrifting and all that fun stuff.
Yes. Okay. So I am working on relaunching a YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, and it's just at Lauren Mack, LauRenMakk. Where I'll be doing all kinds of fun DIYs, upcycling, recycling. It's just kind of like all about the DIY lifestyle. And I call it elevated luxury or elevated crafting, if you will, you know, just taking something that is common and making it look expensive and worthy again. So that's kind of the vision. You are good. It's crazy, you know, learning the YouTube algorithm is so unique because, you know, you want to create content that people are searching for, but also like what I do is so out of the box. Like,
yeah.
So last week I painted my foyer, my entryway to my home, and I spray painted it. I got back to my graffiti roots. I spray painted that thing, and I had to do it in a fast as I could because my husband was going to come home, and if he saw it in process, he would have killed me. but it, from what I started out with is not what I ended up with, but it looks so badass. And now I'm going to spray paint everything in my house because, girl.
This makes so much sense to me that you spray paint, because when I first watched a video of you spray painting, I was like, why is she spray painting and not painting? Well, now it makes sense. That is your background.
It's my secret weapon. I love spray paint. It's my favorite thing to use, whether it's turning something into something new or, you know, just adding a fun technique, whether I'm dipping it in water. I love spray paint. So I spray painted my wall. I spray painted a bunch of mixed metals.
I can't believe you spray painted your wall.
Oh my God, I couldn't either. As soon as it started, I was like, uh-oh, well, I'm in for a penny and 4 pounds. I got to finish this project out. I literally finished doing the technique that I did at the very last second when my husband was walking in, and he walked in and he was like, oh my God, I love it. And I was like, thank God, because 10 minutes ago, you would have killed me. And my guy who was there videoing it for the YouTube channel, he was like, ah, he was looking at me like, girl, because, whoo.
Yeah.
so there's that. But I mean, it looks so classy. It looks so high end. And so that's what it is. It's like taking something that's not high end and making it high end for the home, for your fashion, and just lifestyle tricks, tips, and hacks on how to live your best life. Because that's really what it boils down to is I grew up in Oklahoma. My parents didn't have a lot of money, but my mom had this really special knack for making our home beautiful. And she would DIY everything. She sewed all of our clothes. She, you know, made all of these, you know, homemade foods. She just did everything from scratch and made everything so beautiful. I didn't know we didn't have a lot of money growing up. I just didn't know my parents were struggling because she made everything beautiful. And so just kind of taking her, what I learned from her and my grandmothers, and just really building this beautiful, opulent life. Like, I still, to this day, I'm not paying full price for nothing, girl. And if I can get it at a discount and make it something beautiful, I add these little things to it or paint it or, you know, whatever, add something to it to make it beautiful, then that's what I'm going to do. And so, you know, in HGTV, although I've worked with these people who have these huge budgets and, you know, celebrities and all of these things, like, I look at them and I'm like, how can I knock that off and do it a little bit more affordably for me? And for my folks, and for people like me who like want that nice thing but don't want to spend that big price for it. And so that's the message behind the channel, is really just bringing, you know, luxury, making luxury accessible to everyone, and teaching you, empowering you with how to do it. Because you know, I make mistakes too, even as an expert. I'm like, oh shit, excuse my language, can you say that on your
part? It's okay.
Okay, sorry. Oh no, I have messed this up and I've got 10 minutes to fix it. And like, you know, just watching that happen and unfold in real time, I think is really relatable. So that's what the channel is all about. It's really empowering you to live your best life.
And when can people anticipate this channel to launch?
We are launching mid-March, so Yay. Just go follow me now, and you'll find
just
find
subscribe.
The antics on there. Yeah, subscribe now on YouTube.
Subscribe, but and also ring you can follow bell. Me.
There you go. And you can also follow me on social media. You know, I'm on Instagram and TikTok. I use Instagram because I just like it, but I hear everyone's doing TikTok. That's the thing. So.
Yeah, but like TikTok, I don't have it on my phone because I just can't handle another platform. But like Instagram is my thing. Like Instagram is what you grew up on, basically. Like, yes, it was Facebook first, but then Instagram came in and it was beautiful still photos. And like, that's where my heart still is.
I know, girl. But you know, everyone who's all the everybody's.
I know, all the influencers.
And I feel like my mom now where I'm like, oh, I can't go over there. I'm already safe and comfy over here. But
I'm cold.
I know. I don't even know how to use TikTok, which I sound like my mom. I'm older.
But I think the videos that you make on Instagram, you can then import them into TikTok. Ask one of your young assistants. They'll tell
you. I do. And you know what? They're doing it. And they're just not getting the numbers or the traction because it's different content. It's a whole different ballgame. And you just got to show up on TikTok in a different way. I will say this, though. I recently was listening to this very probably social media thing that's been happening where this lady was telling all her business on TikTok, and now I'm drawn in. So I have been using the platform.
Oh, the one about the husband?
Girl, yes. Who the F did I marry?
My sister sent me the 4-hour video of like all the videos put together because I was like, I don't have TikTok, so find me a video where I can just watch the whole thing, please.
There you go. Girl, it is riveting and it has sucked me in. It has got me in a chokehold. I'm over here lying to my husband about listening to that at the thrift store. So I'm like, I'm busy, I'm working out, listening to this lady and her drama, which is riveting.
I'm at the gym.
But anyway. So guys, after you listen to this podcast and all of the podcasts before it, then go listen to this drama unfold on TikTok. But so that's the only reason why I'd even turn the TikTok on. Yeah. I'm probably old if I'm calling it the TikTok, but here we are.
right. Well, I really appreciate this conversation, Lauren, because I think it's so nice to see someone who has developed not only their career into, you know, the television space, but has this passion to help others who are in a totally different demographic than who you're generally appealing to, right? Like, I think there's something so beautiful about that. There's a whole group of us out there in this world that are, I mean, let's just be transparent. The world is hard right now and the economy is hard and people want nice things, but your necessities of life come first. And that means you have to forego some of those nice things. But to have someone that you can turn to and be like, okay, well, this person is established, right? Is on TV, all these different things, and they're able to do it, and they're doing it in a sustainable and affordable way. So why can't I do it the same way?
Yes. Thank you so much for saying that. I needed to hear that.
No.
Like, oh, why am I posting all this thrifting stuff? Does anyone even care? So that's lovely to hear. Thank you.
People do care, but I think that people care because they actually starting to understand.
Yeah.
Why it's important to do and how our country alone is awful when it comes to like mass production and like,
oh my God.
Why do we have all these stores and why do we produce the amount of things we produce? And then they just end up going to these liquidation stores and they end up in liquidation pallets and then they end up being thrown away. And like, why do we do this
in our country? Oh girl, I follow this guy. I'm sorry. I know you're wrapping this up, but I just want to put this out there. He is my dear friend. I have developed, speaking of community and folks, right? And mass production and finding things. I follow this guy on social media on Instagram. His name is The Trash Salvager. He's in New York City. And he goes through trash. Do you follow him?
No, but I follow a girl who goes through trash.
Oh.
In New York, and I want to cry.
Oh my God, girl. It has me in a chokehold, okay? I have become his friend in real life because I'm like, do not stop this. What you're doing is amazing. Yeah. I'm giving him all of these social media tips, but he doesn't have an interest in it. He just likes the sustainability aspect, but his name is The Trash Salvager. I'm shouting you out, Matt. I hope you're listening. He digs through people's trash. Girl, you think these bins are good. You think these bins are good.
The trash is better.
The trash is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, you know, some of these people who go in like dumpster diving behind stores, that's a whole other ball of wax. I just don't have the energy or the time or the effort to do that, but I'm too old. My knees don't knee like they should. I can't, there ain't no graffiti for me, honey. I'm jumping those fence. Or even climbing the ladder these days. I'm like, if I fall, it's over. But the things he finds in these trash bins, and just, you know, speaking of how wasteful we are and what we're throwing away. But, you know, I just encourage people to, like, think outside the box when it comes to sourcing, because, man, the trash.
And what the schools throw away, what the stores throw away, like things that are still good for 3 more months and they're just tossing it.
I can't even believe it. He finds literally money in the trash, like literal money.
Well, I guess when you live in New York City, what is it? Just throw your money in the trash. It's fine.
Crazy though. The crazy. Anyway, follow him. The trash.
Before we go, where do you see the sustainability movement going in the like upcoming years? Do you see it continue to expand?
Not going anywhere. No, it's not going anywhere. And in fact, when I talk to my colleagues, like, they are almost jealous sometimes that I have started getting into it, because they're not. And the sustainability, the focus on sustainability is now, I think, ever more prevalent than it ever has been, certainly with social media and the push for it. But, you know, just that in general, recycling, reusing, reducing, all of the things, is it ain't going nowhere anytime soon. So keep up the good work, fellow thrifters. Don't stop, you know, but make a name for yourself. Make a niche for yourself. Whatever that thing is, keep going. Because, man, I'll tell you what, my colleagues will be buying from you.
Right.
Because they ain't sourcing. They ain't out here doing the hard work.
This is true. They're not. Can we get a show on HGTV where it's centered around this? Can you work on that? Can you?
Girl, you think I haven't? That's why I'm starting the YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is a call to what I wasn't able to sell. Yeah. I took my butt all the way to New York City, met with the heads of the network. The network's not buying it, but that's okay, because guess what else is not happening? People aren't watching cable, so that's okay. Those of you who are listening, I'd love to hear a share of hands of who has cable still. But if you don't, you're like me, and you want to know how it works and how to utilize, you know, thrifting in your own lives, that's what my whole YouTube channel is all about.
I love that. Well, that's right. If they won't listen to you, you just take it upon yourself and you make it yourself.
Exactly what I did. I'm producing it my own, and they'll be buying it from me, just like these resale items.
And then she's eventually going to do a live, and then she'll start selling things, maybe.
From your lips to God's ears, Daniela. Uh-huh. I think I might. You know what? Maybe I'll do a live sale in mid-March just to get things going.
You can do it on YouTube, too.
Can you?
Yeah.
You can go live on the payment
side of it.
That's what I'm going to do, Daniela. I'll sell it live on YouTube. Then people come to the channel and they'll buy the things on the YouTube channel. You're a genius. You just did my whole marketing plan.
Just hire me. That's it. Just hire me as your assistant.
I will.
Thank virtual you assistant, so it's fine. I got you.
I love it. Yeah. Do you want to? I'll give you a cut. Why don't you moderate it? You can tell me.
You have my email. You reach out to me. Listen.
Well, where's the baby coming
in here? New mom, and I don't want to be working in an office anymore. So
I hear you. When's the baby coming?
End of March. Well, we'll see. I go next week to check. So it's either going to be in a week or two, or end of March. One or the other. Woo!
Girl, God bless it. Okay, well, if you're still with baby and you don't have a baby yet, maybe you'll moderate. I'm putting you on the list.
Okay. I'll be there. I have experience with YouTube. I used to have a YouTube channel, but then I strayed away from it because it's just a lot. It was either like podcast or YouTube. It's one or the other.
I know. It is. It's true. You gotta figure it out. You can actually do a YouTube podcast and people watch it.
I could, but then I got to like hire someone to do all the things. Because I'm not going to watch those things.
I'm going to help you on that end. And you help me on moderation. And then we'll be a whole duo.
You guys are witnessing it here first.
Yeah.
Collaboration.
Exactly. Well, so I want to thank everybody who's listening. My pleasure. Thank you, Daniela, for having a place where we can all go to talk about our things. And then I want to thank everybody who's listening. Because if you made it this far, what a champion you are. But also, I just really appreciate having a space where we can talk about this, where people care. Because my kids don't care. My husband doesn't care. Most of my friends don't even care. And I feel like such a lonely nerd.
I get it. I get it. Because this is like my me time. Like I come on here and we do monthly Zooms and stuff in the Patreon group where it's like we all have the same mindset and we can all talk to each other because no one else understands us.
Exactly. Nobody
gets
it. My husband
will listen, but he doesn't care.
They don't care. They don't care at all. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Daniela.
Thank you so much, Lauren. And we will be back next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.